It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The city's Mexican War streets are the scene of a war among some of the neighborhood's homeowners. Folks there are divided over a plan to include more of that north side area in an historic district, meaning a city commission would have to approve exterior changes to buildings. It was back in 1972 that the city designated part of Mexican War Streets, Samsonia Street to North Avenue and Sherman Avenue to Drover's Way, a city historic district. Now, supporters of the expansion want to push the district's boundaries to Redhour Street, Charlick Way, Carrington, Armondale, and Redknapp Streets, and Cameo Way. Joining us now to look at the issue is Paul Johnson, president of the Mexican War Streets Society. Paul Johnson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And also with us, Post-Gazette reporter Diana Nelson-Jones, a resident of the Mexican War Streets. Diana Nelson-Jones, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We'd like to hear from residents of the Mexican War Streets. Are you in favor of the expansion? If so, why? And if not, why not? The number again, 412-246-2002. Paul Johnson, let's begin with you. What is the main reason for this expansion?
We would like to be able to control the demolition of these historic buildings. These are not your ordinary garden variety of building. They're special, and they need to be taken care of. And the way to do that properly is to have those buildings which the BBI, which is the part of the city government that would be responsible for demolitions, in an historic district, they would have to take the issue to the Historic Review Commission. And that has been successful in the past in getting people interested. The building turns out that it needs to be posted, and people come to the hearings, and in a number of cases, buildings have been saved at the hearing itself. Whereas without historic designation, BBI can just demolish the building.
What makes them special, these buildings?
Well, they are buildings that were erected between 1860 and 1920, with most of them built in the 1880s. And if you keep a roof on one of these houses, it will last forever. Unlike the kind of architecture we're building today, which comes with a 50-year lifespan. So the buildings are interesting from a vernacular architectural standpoint. They are Victorian, but it's a Victorian style that is peculiar in some ways to Pittsburgh.
So you're talking about a style as a buildings that have historic value, and they're durable because when you talk about and we hear this a lot, the things were made years ago in a way that it will never be duplicated for cost reasons and any number of other reasons. So, and the durability comes from what?
It's both structural and many of the architectural details. Let's talk about a bracket, for example. A bracket or a corbel is that architectural detail that holds up a part of the gutter, the box gutter. So you have something that is both decorative and also functionally structural. The interiors of the house are also structurally significant.
Diana Nelson-Jones, what do you see as the benefit of expanding this historic district?
I have a little bit of a problem speaking for or against because I report on this issue.
Well, looking at it as a reporter, what would be the pros? As you look equally at both the pros and cons, what are the pros here?
As a reporter, and most people who know my reporting know that I do support preservation, that I do support conservation. And, I mean, I write about this as an advocate, and I don't make any bones about that. It's important to conserve the city's you know, structures and its history and the people who came before. So I am in favor of preserving what I would say is the reason to expand this district is to save all of the buildings that are of that style, whether they're Queen Anne, whether they're, you know, Renaissance, Italianate, whatever. They are of a fabric that we don't have very many examples of in the city. So for the city side.
And what are the drawbacks or what are the cons of expanding the neighborhood?
Well, I know personally, you know, I'm saving up for my wood windows because I can only afford one every year or so. And so I'm, you know, rather than be able to put vinyl on, which I really don't want to do anyway, I have to do wood windows because I am currently in the district. And so the disadvantage would be if you can't get some kind of help, which I'm told there is available, you have to, you know, it's a struggle for poor people and marginal people and even people of moderate means like me to be able to afford to upgrade your house to the standard of historic. So that could be a drawback, although there are so many nuances in this issue that many people are not getting or wherever or they're either denying that, that this could be the case.
And so are you also seeing the potential that we could there could be people forced out and as a result there would be a diminished diversity in the neighborhood?
Well, I'm already seeing renters forced out because rent is going up. So I think that's more of an issue than homeowners being forced out because I think that there is recourse for homeowners. They can get loans, they can get grants, they can get help from the Mexican War Streets. I'm more concerned about just general this neighborhood. All of the prices are going up, the price of a house and the rent. So that's a whole nother issue. But I don't know. I mean, you hear people say you'll be forced out, but I haven't heard of anybody who has been.
Paul Johnson, when we hear that every house or when you say that every house would be grandfathered in under this expansion plan, what does that mean exactly?
It means that the homeowner is required to do nothing. If the house has aluminum awning on it, the aluminum awning can stay. If the house has vinyl windows, if the windows need to be replaced, they can be replaced with vinyl. But in the end, you are required to do nothing.
What kind of tensions has this created in the Mexican War Streets community?
It has created tension. It's unfortunate, and I think part of that is due to the misinformation that has been put out there by, I'm not sure who's doing it. It tends to be anonymous, but I've heard stories of people coming to someone's door and telling them, you've got to vote against this. You've got to make sure city council knows that this is a bad thing because you're going to end up in the street if you don't. And this is simply not true. There's another part of this, which I don't know whether we have time to get into, but it's historic. It goes back 4 or 5 years ago when the officers of Central Northside Neighborhood Council were not, that is to say, the board members were not reelected, and a whole new board came in. And there was on the books and funded, by the way, by PHFA, the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency, affordable housing. And when the new board came in, that project was canceled, unfortunately. Because we do need more affordable housing everywhere in the city and, of course, in the Mexican War Streets as well.
We're discussing a plan in the Mexican War Streets area of the North Side to expand the historic district. What concerns do you have or questions about that plan? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to David, who is calling from the Mexican War Streets. Hello, David. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome.
I live actually in the War Streets in the existing historic district. And frankly, my opinion on the expansion matters less than my worries about the context in which this debate is being presented. And I'm kind of pinging you about it, but I've seen it throughout the media. I keep seeing this referred to as a war or as some sort of really deep conflict within our neighborhood. And I think that's exactly the wrong way to present it. I don't think that having a spirited discussion about an issue where there are two legitimate perspectives should be characterized as a war. I think it, in fact, indicates the diversity of our neighborhood, the diversity of opinion, and the passionate commitment that people in our community have to its future. And to call it a war casts it in a very negative light and casts a negative light on our neighborhood. And in fact, I think it shows us a great strength and is very positive that we do care enough about what's going on and we do care enough about the future and we do have competing visions and different ideas, and we're willing to hash them out, we're willing to talk about them, we're willing to argue about them. That's not a war. That's a healthy community having a conversation on a very important topic, helping determine its own future. So my comment is more about how to think about this, how to contextualize it, than it is about the pros and cons of the issue itself.
And that's certainly why we want to have a civil discussion about it now. And, David, you know that the media, and I'll include myself, sometimes we never can resist a play on words or, a chance to do some alliteration. And to that having been said, there is some fear here. And we're hearing there have been things like threatening notes passed under the door of somebody who's who is either in agreement or opposition to this, Diana Nelson Jones. What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this issue is an exacerbation of tensions that have already existed in our neighborhood, and it's usually along class or racial lines, in which many people didn't feel that they were welcome to join the discussion at the neighborhood council level.
So there's been some threats out there.
I've only seen on Facebook a letter that was posted, kind of a snarky letter that was not signed by someone, alluding to, this being a horrible thing for the war streets. I think that a more mature approach would be to really talk about why maybe this is not a good idea, as opposed to scaring people.
One question that comes to mind for me is what happens to a house like Randyland? And if, this is a house, for people who are not familiar, that is some people might look at it and feel that it's garish, but it's a very colorfully decorated house, and the individual expression is quite unique and in its own way wonderful.
Randyland is everything on Randyland can be taken off. Plus, it's painted. If a building had already been painted, it can be painted. So the argument that Randyland and various other of the City of Asylum houses with temporary sculptures and paint on them would not be allowed to be replicated in a historic district is not true.
Dave in Lawrenceville, if you have a quick comment, we're just about out of time. Go ahead, Dave.
Yep, quick comment here, and thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to kind of agree with your speakers on the panel today that there is zero downside to expanding the historic district. And your example of Randyland is a very good one, because anyone familiar knows that is not the typical house that you expect in the Mexican War streets. But nevertheless, there it is. And so I just really I'm not a resident of the War streets, obviously, but as somebody who's a Pittsburgher and enjoys their architecture and values what they have to present to the city in terms of their historical merit, I just wanted to comment that the folks living in that neighborhood do have an important decision to make, but I really am having a trouble understanding what the counter argument to the expansion of the district is, given that there's no limitation on what you can do with your individual property.
Okay, Dave in Lawrenceville, thank you. And so, Paul Johnson, I mean, Randyland wouldn't necessarily go away with this.
Absolutely not. In fact, right now the city, throughout all the historic neighborhoods, are reviewing the guidelines for an historic neighborhood. And we are going to do the same thing. We're going to make sure that we'll have more Randylands and that we'll have more art houses from the City of Asylum.
Well, it's certainly an interesting discussion, and it has inspired people in the Mexican War Streets area. I want to thank both of our guests. Wish we had more time, but unfortunately we're out of time. Paul Johnson, president of the Mexican War Street Society, and Post-Gazette reporter Diana Nelson-Jones, a resident of the Mexican War Streets. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, what happens when a liberal goes to work for Fox News? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.